Guys, we are very excited to announce that Legion of Skanks merch is back up and running.
We've been down for, I'm guessing, better part of 2 years. But we're back, baby. We're back in a big way. So stop asking me at all my shows if there's merch. There is!
A bunch of new designs and a bunch of classic designs like the logo or the Church of Latter-day Skanks, but we have a bunch of brand new stuff as well. My personal favorite is the Legion of Skanks Loyalty or Death t-shirt and hoodie, because guess what? The newest core value for the Legion of Skanks is being a loyal skank.
That's right. And we have another one that says core values, in case you don't like being esoteric.
All you got to do right now is go to skanksmerch.com. That's skanksmerch.com and grab a t-shirt or a hoodie today. We're going to be launching new designs every month or so. So grab them now before they sell out.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
When you hear that bomb blast, get a shot blast. To the podcast, it's all up in your mom's ass. Big J kills them like O.J. Simpson. A quit, hit the fingerless glove, don't fit. Hit break quick by that big dick, Dave Smith. He all up in your ribs while he talking politics. Don't get bit when you rattle by that Puerto Rican snake. They natural born killers, Legion of Skanks.
Welcome to the club.
It's so funny, like... just not anything that anybody really cares about except for you when you're like have a new home and you're like, this is my lawn, look. Like, when you think about like, would you care about anybody's lawn? You're like, look at that lawn,
dude.
I'm telling you, now I care about people's lawn. Now
I see other people. I care so much. I care so much. I'm so interested in
house. Until you have a house, you don't care about people's lawns. Like now when I see my neighbor has lawns like really nice and like, and there's somehow lines in it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, uh-huh. Oh, dude,
I don't have lines in my lawn. I have no idea how that's even done.
Dude, I have one of my fucking Ginzo neighbors has the best lawn on my street. And I like, every time I pass it, I'm like, this guy's fucking killing it, man.
I know so little about this stuff that I was like, I was trying to explain what I wanted with the landscaping. I'm like, what's the, you know, it's like where the grass is like really green, but like the dirt's like dark. It's like black. And they were like, no, man, like dirt's always brown pretty much. And I go, no, but you see how like that dirt over there is just like dirt. It's like dry brown dirt. You know what I'm talking about? Like when you see the bottom of the trees and the plants, it's like black. It's like it's black dirt almost.
Talking about mulch?
I guess, dude. And then now everything looks black. Like they did it. And they're like, they seem to still not know what I'm talking about. I'm like, what you did?
Ooh, Bitcoin, 90-day high, $108,000.
It is a... Lauren sent me some meme about how, like, in your 40s, you automatically go into your bird-watching phase. Like, all of a sudden, bird-watching. And I do swear, I'll see something like... I'll see, like, a cardinal land on one of the trees in my property, and I'm like... Here. Or you're like, yo, dude, they're so red. It's just cool. I don't know. Like, you just feel it happening to yourself. But ever since owning
a home, I have
said
several times, I go, oh, look at that cardinal.
Like, I can't even explain. And I know on some level, I'm like, this is insane that I care about this. But every conversation I've had with you, Jay, since you bought your house, I'm just so into it. And you're like, ah, yeah, they found a problem with the septic, but that's on the old guy. It's nice. You end up with a brand new septic.
You say, like, Josh doesn't care at all. Like Josh is like living in an apartment with his fucking wife.
Dude, I don't know that. Josh, pop on for a second. Do you care about my wallet?
Josh is reassessing his opinion of us based on this conversation.
It's just something that,
like, I thought these guys were cool.
Somebody that's not currently buying a house or didn't just buy a house in the past couple of years. It's like, it's
Josh. Just, I know you're probably concerned. I want you to know it's Kentucky bluegrass, you see, which is the most durable of all grasses as far as sod goes.
You're in a position where you're clearly saving up for a poster, but imagine that poster was an entire yard.
And then you got to put new grass down on it. Kentucky bluegrass, nonetheless.
Yeah, I have to admit, I am not at grass point, but I have been looking at birds.
Yeah, Josh is being held at grass point by Jay.
Josh, you might rather hear about the Josh, I want you to look at my new grass, and I want you to say it's great. It's Kentucky bluegrass, in case you don't know.
G Mike wrote in the chat, I'd rather hear about the poster. Nobody cares about grass unless you just bought a house.
Yeah, no, I get it. I would not have cared. But I care
Jay
so
just
much
gave a
now.
Tour of his grass to all these 25-year-old interns.
Nope, gave no tour. Showed a picture out the window.
Grass tour, ha ha. Kentucky bluegrass tour.
Kentucky bluegrass is very durable. So you know, it holds up.
There's a.
We also got a couple. I'm not done yet. We also got a couple perennials getting planted that are going to pop up every year. So that'll be nice. But they even last through the frost, so they'll take us through the fall. They said.
There's a few things that I sent to the chat.
Anything about my home ownership?
Nothing about your home ownership. Nothing about grass.
Okay. Information on refinancing alone?
Yeah. Anything on refi? Because I think if I refi in a couple of years, probably term of payment's pretty lower.
Annuity, something like that. Whatever annuity means. Yeah.
And also, I think a couple times a year, I'm going to pay down the principal a little bit. So, you know, it's a whole thing.
God, I really should have an annuity.
I don't even know what I can't even say an annuity. An annuity.
Is that flowers? Adding, are those flowers also?
It's adding an
Oh, dude, a bed of annuity in your front yard? Wow. Now that's nice.
I thought I was getting perennials. Maybe they're annuities.
Oh, shit. There was one thing I commented on. You can probably find the video. It's not on Instagram, but I commented on it on Instagram. It was Pedro Pascal was at an award show. No, I don't know if he was warning somebody. Somebody was going to wave, right? They were like going to wave. And then he caught the moment where he was like, oh, somebody's going to screenshot you waving. So he grabbed his arm to put it down so it didn't look like he was giving a Nazi salute. Mm. And it's like, what? And I commented on the video being like, what a fucking dumb world we live in now, right? And then a bunch of people know this, the way they took it, they were like, yeah, it is a terrible world, right? That you can't fucking salute Nazis, right? You're like, no, that's not what I was saying. I was saying it's a terrible world that you can't wave and without somebody screenshotting you and calling you a fucking Nazi. Yeah,
dude, that's a great little microcosm example of fucking the culture war in general, where you're almost, you think you're like on the right side and then someone like a right winger comes in and you're like, you're not helping. Stop. Yes. Go away. No, that's not at all the point that we're making.
Yeah, this is it right here. Look, yeah, Pedro Pascal's like, hey,
oh
dude,
my God.
Don't, whoa, dude.
Whoa,
no hiling, doggy, chill.
Is that what he thought he was doing?
Well, he just knew that somebody was going to screenshot him doing that, and then it's just so dumb. You're like, guys, we all know you're not fucking hiling.
Like, it's like, unfortunately, the heil couldn't be a more basic movement of like, hey, everybody, what's up?
they should have made it more specific.
That's what I do when I walk on stage at almost every show. It's like, hey, everybody.
Hold on, guys. Hold on one second.
The heil should be Lewis. Honest to God, we don't have a lot of time. What are you going to do? You're going to show us something? You're going to show us your new tile floor, you piece of shit? Come on, man. We're moving and shaking, dog.
No, I have to get something for myself.
Oh God.
Keep it going. You guys are good. You guys are pros.
It's
cool.
Are we doing a show or what, man? It's like,
nah, Jay, come on. We can vamp. Show me your yard again.
You sure can. Okay. So the Kentucky bluegrass, Dave, you see, is actually, it's good for the pets and everything because it tends to, pops up the same every year. Lush.
You start finding, it's so old.
Josh,
Manny.
Pop back on for a second, would you?
But like, the little things will start. So like, Josh, you can relate to this. So like, Josh, my neighbor, he just like lined his driveway with stone. And like, I saw they had like a team over there. And I was like, oh, what are they doing over there? They're laying down new pavement. What? But no, they weren't laying down new pavement. They were just lining it, and it really richens up the driveway. And I'm like, ooh, that is a nice, that's a nice idea.
Any Brown to take my place?
Yeah. Thanks, Josh.
Oh, shit. Wait, thanks, Lewis, Josh Lewis. If you're here, if, then how is he?
I call him Hair Lewis.
Oh, shit. Yeah, so we're just fucking, yeah, dude, whatever it is, like, they did that with after the Elon thing when he hiled.
Yeah.
When he actually hiled, which I'll never be, I'm never going to not. I don't care that.
He sent his heart out to the crowd, Lewis. His heart was in here. He was trying to get it out there. How exactly are you going
to
do that?
I know what you're thinking. He could have pointed to them, but he wanted to go to five individual people.
He also could have went like that.
My heart goes to you five, and then you five.
He could have done the hot check heart, but he didn't do that.
No, Lewis, he's not.
And I don't care that he hiled
his heart. He's throwing his heart out to them five people at a time because that's the most people you could throw your heart out to with whatever, dude.
How much are you going to break down your heart, Lewis? You don't know shit.
I don't even care that he hiled. I think it's hilarious that he hiled. I genuinely, I'm like, more power to you. Just own your hile, doggy. Stop fucking pretending it wasn't exactly what it fucking was. And we're going to just, you know, but then after that, everyone came out with like, it was a picture of Hillary waving and they were like, look, everyone hiles. It was Hillary, it was AOC, and it was Bill Clinton. You're like, guys, they were obviously waving. It's not the same thing. We have these not real arguments. There's like none of it's real.
Well, isn't
like,
it kind of funny? It's kind of it's almost the fucking thing. Like when you know, then it becomes a reality. But like, you know, the Milo said he took credit for it, but whatever it was, just like the, you know,
okay,
a thing that people can do a lot in the world, and then you just make it like, oh, it's actually a terribly nefarious thing. It's like your dog whistling. White power or whatever on a thing you can just have a zillion people doing. I mean, wasn't fucking Hannibal on the A-Team? Didn't he like fucking put a cigar in his mouth and go like that? That was his freeze frame or something. So it's like you can take something that's been done 1,000 times and then you go, oh, it's actually evil.
Well, the funny thing is it's like the boiling frog thing, which I'm not sure that's actually true, but you know, that like metaphor that it's like a frog. If you just like turn the gas all the way up or the flame all the way up, the frog will jump out. But if you do it slowly and slowly, it'll just stay in and you could cook it to death. But it's like they get you with one thing after another, and then like 17 things into it, you're like, wait a minute, where? Because like they'll be like, hey, this means you're a Nazi, and they're like, aha, you retard, there's no Nazis, it's just somebody saying okay. And then like by the end of it, Elon Musk is just like slitting a Jew's throat on stage. And you're like, no one hates Jews, dude. No. And you're like, whew, how do we get here? A big jump.
But it is funny. It's like if you just go, if the Legion's can actually start, the peace sign is actually people saying World War II. You're going, World War II, dude. World War II.
Wrong side lost, man. Wrong side lost.
You do backwards. Anytime it's done backwards, they go, it's like, oh, dude, that means World War II. Wrong side lost.
I mean, I wish somebody would come up with a rumor that this is a Nazi salute.
And they go, they got to draw something in the middle. Goes, can't you see the swastika? Like, no. And they start drawing things in there. Goes, you don't see the trace of the thing.
Oh, shit. Yeah, it's just like, it's just a fucking sad world where it's like, you just, you know.
It's an internet world, dude. I have to believe 100 years from now, like, this will be the dumb shit that it would be like, how could people ever believe that? Or,
oh, yeah. I agree. I think it'll be, we're going to go like,
it's still extraordinarily new. This didn't exist at all when I was in high school, barely at all. Like some people had like dial up if you were like rich or something, or school had it a little bit. But I mean like it's happened within my career, really. Forget even fucking since school.
Yeah, well, it's just internet. Like it's not even internet. It's social media. So like internet, you know, remember the first 10 years of internet was just looking at titties and fucking rotten.com.
Slowly, very slow titties.
It was slow titties and rotten.com. And that's the only reason I ever used the internet for up until I was in my mid 20s. And then social media came out and then it became like a quick way to get people.
MySpace didn't dominate people's lives, though.
MySpace was pretty important at one point.
It was important if you were in entertainment, for sure. A huge part of that was that you were just still in the figuring it out phase of like, what can this thing do? And there weren't that many people on it. Once it became like, it wasn't just like a thing for kind of kids. It was a thing that just all people, and not all people, but you know what I mean? Like that once it was so many people on it, it became a thing where it was like, oh, now there's a whole economy based on.
Well, Twitter, I think, was like a generational fucking pivot, like completely.
Yeah.
That was like, I mean, Twitter, that's what I think really where it's like everyone's commenting constantly on stuff.
Yeah, it's funny. You mentioned it being for kids. It was. MySpace was for like you do your top eight friends and it was just college students and kids just being bored.
Facebook at the time, you were not allowed to sign up for it unless you had an active college email account.
You have an EDU.
Friendster came and went. Not MySpace. Facebook, I think, was that was for college specifically.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. But at the time, it was Facebook and MySpace were the big ones. And even MySpace, even though it wasn't like you could create an account if you were older, it wasn't for older people. It was like it was used by 20-year-olds.
It's crazy. Now it's like there's like 80-year-old politicians that are like using social media every day.
Sitting on a couch with their fucking phone, like leaning back like a high school girl, looking at comments and seeing what they're going to write.
Like politicians doing it. Like Obama was like the first year that they started using social media.
POTUS.
That's pretty recent. When you really consider it, like that's pretty fucking recent.
Yeah.
That changed how people communicated to get votes. Like before it was like people picking up the phone and calling people's houses for votes and sending letters to your home. And like, it's just, it all like fucking shifted. It's crazy.
The people that had to hit the most is people I said that were famous for long before that. Cause like, you know, Axl Rose for always could be mysterious and a person you can never reach out to. And not that you can necessarily like speak to him, but it came a time that we're in right now where you can go at Axl Rose, you're a fat faggot, and he will probably see it and just go, geez.
He'll definitely see it. Well, yeah, can you see if Axl is active on X right now? Let's start harassing Axl Rose.
Well, I remember almost faggot. Like,
whoa,
the timing of
popular.
It. Like, I remember around like, so I got my first cell phone after I graduated high school. And so I was in the class 2002. So in 2003, I remember sending text messages with like this Nokia phone and being like, yo, this is crazy. I can text. And it would be like, you know, like it was free on nights and weekends is like how it would work. So you're like,
that's right. It was certain times during the day. Yes, you could only
during
text.
The day you'd hit enough and then you'd start getting shot. But so it's 2003. This is a brand new thing that I can send a text message to someone. And then you cut to the year Lewis is talking about with Obama, the first presidential campaign where Twitter was like a big factor is 2008. So like 5 years later, we have now you can text Axl Rose. Essentially, like you can now I could fucking send a thing to his phone just to be like, you suck, bro.
Let's see.
It's so weird. It came on. So
how many followers does he have? No, that's not the real Axl Rose. How many followers does he have?
1.3 million. 1.3. That's him.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it said 1.000.
Followed by Ralph Sutton, Speezer, and four others. Please see who the other four people are. Nerds.
Fucking dweebs.
Patton Oswalt, Florentine, Josh.
Oh, Axl, you're my hero.
Wow, Josh has not updated his ex. He's got his thing. What are you gonna be out there with Bat Jelly Roll to?
And the last one is Joe Harari. What's the last tweet that Axl sent out? I can't really see it. It's very small. Let me see if I can see it on my screen if I make it bigger.
It just says,
and your bitch slap rapping and your cocaine tongue.
I don't even know what that really meant.
Do you know when they, I didn't know this, when they re-released GNR Lies, they took the song out, the One in a Million?
I don't know.
Where he what has the, you don't remember he had the lyrics in that were like, I think he goes like, niggers and faggots, they don't mean shit to me, and,
Really? I don't remember that.
Yeah. It was like a big deal. And then they removed it, which I don't know. I think it's kind of weird. It's like, I get it also, but I also don't like.
I think you just have to live in it. It's also
a weird I think the song had a purpose. He wasn't like, does that make sense? Like, that was always a part of that song, Rock and Roll Nigger, that Patti Smith, Patti Smith, and then Manson remade that song.
Manson covered it.
Yeah. And it's not like, you know, it's clearly not like a racist song.
Yeah. I mean, I always sang it racistly.
I guess it depends what you put with how you put your heart behind it or not.
When I sing it, I was singing it pretty racistly. I wasn't looking for the deeper meaning in it. I was like a black guy with the black DMX guy with a spike belt. Yeah, rock and roll.
We always see the DMX thing when they're doing My Niggas and everybody at Woodstock is singing. And I go, I always argue. I go, dude, everyone's singing along because they love DMX and love that song. Goes, there's just one guy in there who's just taking an excuse to say it.
Yeah, of course.
Well, every time he goes, but My Niggas, he's walking around the crowd going, you nigga. You nigga.
I mean, just like
I'm just singing, man.
We live, you know, in a you know, we started doing this podcast 13 or 14 years ago or whatever, right? And we said like crazy shit those early episodes because we just didn't have the foresight to know to like. And by the way, I own all of it. We could go.
Well, we knew we were being funny.
We knew we were always trying to be funny, but we also didn't have like the foresight to go like, oh, it was going to get this hot in the kitchen, you know, during the Me Too movement, Trump rising. Like it, that was the 2016 to 2020. It was like, I could have told you, I mean, we did talk about it. I was like, guys, we're over. There's no way this is going to last. Our lives are going to be ruined. No, we're going to be poor.
It was more than 2020. It kept going really until 22. When Elon bought Twitter is when it first started calming down. But that was just the start of it. It was a reasonable concern that it was like, there was a time when it was like, they're probably going to come for all of us. There's probably a future where we can't do what we do on YouTube
and
or
then
iTunes.
They dropped the Joe Rogan N-word compilation, and I was like, yes. If they're not going to take him down for it, what the hell are they going to fucking take us down for it?
Were you like, yes, after it didn't really do much to
him? Yeah.
Although it did do a lot. Like Joe's a very notable face who will steer clear of that. He won't do that again.
Yeah, but he I think had said already, and I do think this is true, because all the clips were like old ones, and he was like, yeah, I already kind of had decided I'm not gonna like say that word anymore. Regardless of that,
sure,
it's the fact that they fucking came for the biggest one first and it didn't work was really important.
And then there's like, now the great thing about Twitter is there's so many actual unapologetic racists that are on Twitter that I'm like, it's like there's so many more.
Like, come notable- on, you're gonna come for the funny Nazis first. You got these serious Nazis.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone else had a what was I watching? Something where somebody was complaining about that idea. Sometimes the fans also sometimes can convolute your message, because if you're just trying to be funny, and then when they're like, they think they're trying to be funny also. It's coming from the same place, but like, you know, it's like someone complains like, your guy's use of the N-word is blah blah blah, and it's you know, appalling about, and like one of our fans writes, but like, shut up, you smelly nigger. you're like guys, like, what? That's like, you're not really helping our point at all. Like, do you know what I mean?
You know, they always have a thing.
Like, stop.
They always have a thing. They're like, no, dude, I'm right there with you. Wasn't that hilarious? You're like,
it was hilarious to me. I get it was hilarious to me because I know exactly what you're trying to do, but that is not reading in the world at all.
Well, I talked about that, you know, maybe a couple weeks ago when I saw that movie Sinners. Like, the amount of people that were, I was like, oh, I like that movie, and they were like, yeah, dude, you like a movie that's fucking trying to keep the white man. You're like, guys, calm the fuck down. It's a vampire movie.
Vampire movie.
Like, what are you doing? Like, who gives a shit? Like, even if the director of the movie was like, yeah, you know, this is a conversation on the bigger issues about black people being healthy. You're like, who cares? It's just vampires that are fucking being burnt by garlic in the sun. Like, I'm not.
Dude, it's the worst thing about wokeism was like the insistence that everything has to be political. And everything, like, I have to attach some political lens to every fucking interaction. And it's like, look, dude, I loved the show 24. Loved 24. Now, if you were going to be like, hey, wasn't that like pro war on terror propaganda? You're like, yeah, almost certainly. Like, clearly it was. But whatever, it was a fucking fun show to watch. Like, you don't have, like, I don't know. Yes, I don't think we should torture everybody.
Is it propaganda, though? Is it, like, propaganda?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, listen, I don't even know the details of it, but I guarantee you, like, the Defense Department met with the fucking production teams and shit like that. They do all types of shit like
that. Really?
Oh, yeah, 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 they do. The Department of Defense does it all the time. There's a really interesting, what's her name? From Homeland, from My So-Called Life. What's that chick's name, Jay?
Claire Danes.
She had an interesting interview about that.
Nice.
About how the like she like met with the CIA to talk about, you know, because they give you like information, but then they also try to control how you, you know, like tell the story. But regardless, 24 fucking kicks ass. It doesn't matter if you're 49, just like you got to be able to enjoy a movie just based on the movie.
Yeah.
And then if the fucking director even meant it as propaganda, you go, well, they made good propaganda. I don't know.
It'll be like if somebody was mad at the end of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Like, that's not what happened. You know, like when they kill, did you ever see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
No.
Yeah, I did. I tried
to give you a little.
Oh, you never seen, yeah. Oh, like that's the, crazy. Yeah. You should watch that. It's Tarantino. That's the it's a movie about like, you know, a fledgling like actor. That's
Leo. Yeah, I'm loosely familiar with the concepts.
But the concept of the movie is worthless. There's just a sub story going on the whole time where they're kind of showing you Charles Manson and his like the Manson crew. And it's them going to do like the Manson crew going to do like the Sharon Tate killing. But actually, because Leonardo DiCaprio's character pissed those people off a little earlier, they're not even going to her house. They're going to kill Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt. And then Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio beat the shit out of the, like, it's like almost like a torturous way that all the Manson like family people die at the end of the movie. And like if somebody was upset, he goes, that's not historically accurate to what happened. He goes, yeah, he just took some like artistic liberty.
Same thing with the other Tarantino movie, the was it Inglourious Basterds, right?
Yeah.
Completely fictionalized end of the movie with Hitler.
Yeah. It just changed history. People get mad about that at all.
I love hilarious. That. That was good. That's what's great about Tarantino. Actually, I watched, we're talking about Sinners and Tarantino now. Last night, I watched From Dusk Till Dawn. First time since I was maybe a teenager.
Hold I don't up. Think I've watched hold that fun. Movie since it was a new movie.
Very yeah, fun. No, holds up. It's actually better than I remembered. You don't appreciate how like good the opening scene is.
Yeah.
Like, the clerk having a conversation with the cop. You don't realize that the guys are in there. It's just a normal conversation. He's crushing it. Like he's really not letting the cop know anything.
Yeah.
Fucking Tarantino's a lunatic. It's so good, dude. It's really good. And God damn it, Salma Hayek. Oh. Wowzer, wowzer, wowzer.
I would say my favorite thing ever is just Tarantino going, all right, now, I need somebody to get a lap dance from prime Selma Hayek. Okay, whoa, I just had an idea. This is crazy enough to work. I'll play that guy. So I'll just be the guy, and then you just get in a bikini and grind on my dick. This is really
put your foot in my mouth. I mean, I think it's gross, but I'll do it for the part.
Yeah, but my character's into it.
Yeah, that was a fun movie. What's it called? Oh, I sent another thing to the group. Did you guys see the that compilation of the fucking guy like kissing all these 11-year-old girls? Who was a game show host, a Canadian game show.
Did you watch it? Oh God, you sent it to me and it made me very uncomfortable.
Because
your cock was so hard that you didn't have any blood in your head anymore.
Oh, it's very uncomfortable to sit with such a huge boner. By the way, I also
like Richard Dawson, like the old Family Feud guy.
Yeah, but this was it was a kid's show.
Oh shit.
You know, it popped up. Lewis texted this to me and I just clicked it and I didn't, for whatever reason, the way it came up on my phone, I just thought Lewis texted me. I didn't realize it was to the group Skanks. I just thought Lewis texted me and I'm like 30 seconds into watching it and I was like, what the fuck did Lewis just send this to me?
Want to jerk together?
Because like, thinking about you, bro.
Very nice.
Can you make it bigger?
They're not blue. Now, don't tell me that. Look at me a little closer.
That's a girl?
They're green. I fooled you. I fooled you. You talk about getting married and having a family and things like that. No, you don't. What do you do when you're 11 years old for a date? Where do you go? What are some things you do?
You just walk home from school with each other.
Oh, you walk home from school with each other. Okay, what category? Do you hand out kisses, Jennifer? You look like a young lady who likes to give lots of hugs and kisses out, do you?
Who is this guy?
A genius?
This is my idol?
Yeah. A guy that knows what he wanted and went for it?
A hug and a kiss?
and lined his life up. He's late.
I mean, dude, her literally, it's almost out of a movie. Pause it. It's almost out of a movie. She's like, no.
Yeah,
like,
not one of them has been into it at all.
They're children. No children are into kissing this creepy old guy.
You wanna get over here and give me a little? I know he's probably got whiskey breath.
Oh, dude, it's fucking insane.
Damn.
Even if I say and whisper in your ear that Allison, you're gonna win the show. I still can't have a hug and a kiss?
Uh-uh.
Well, I guess you can't win the show then. If I don't get a hug and a kiss.
This is how you get a job as a guest digital intern.
Josh is the only one who's currently given his hug and kiss. The rest of you are on notice.
Oh my God, dude, it's sick. It's a show called Just Like Mom. He hosted the show with his wife. Yeah, what's it? What's Jesus. His name? He's alive still, by the way. I looked this up. I went on a little journey. Fergie Oliver, yeah. No, Fergie Olver. 1980 to 1985. The kids on the show were 7 to 12 years old. Damn. Is that it?
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Forced to hug adults.
Could you imagine somebody like on television just essentially molesting your child and not killing them? The fact that nothing, like nobody murdered this guy. Nobody fucking
was there. Can you look up if there was any G Mike or Alex or G Mike, any accusations ever against Al Alberts in Philadelphia? In Philadelphia, that was our, I want to say public access, but it wasn't even, it was on that network, but like, you know, local like hours, like whether it be late night or early morning on Saturdays or something, but it was called Al Albert Showcase. And it was always, it was just like, he wore a tuxedo. He's like an old crooner type guy. And he would, it's always kids. Just when there's tons of kids around, you just got to feel like, why do you want to do a show that's like, just well, first of all, surrounded by nonstop children.
If you ever notice, like throughout the 80s, like the kids character, whoever was like involved in kids, they all look like pedophiles. Like Mr. fucking, what's his name from Elmo's World? Mr. Noodle?
Oh, Mr. Noodle, yeah.
There's Mr. Noodle. Mr. Noodle looked like he loved to lick children's assholes. It was insane. Mr. Rogers, that's a great Kurt joke where he's like, I watched the entire documentary. You know what? He wasn't touching kids. Why make the documentary?
I know. Well, by the way, the fact that the documentary of Mr. Rogers is just like, the guy actually was a fucking swell dude. You're like, what a boring ass documentary.
Alex said Mr. Noodle isn't so bad. No, I think there's a new Mr. Noodle that's not as bad. The first Mr. Noodle.
There was an old Mr. Noodle and a new Mr. Noodle. I got little kids.
Like
both of them a little weird. I mean, their names are Mr. Noodle, but the old one did look more pedophile-y. Lewis is right about that.
But all like the mailman on Pee Wee Herman, like they're like, it's all these kind of creepy looking fucking weird dudes.
I don't know, Lewis. Pedophiles evidently are silly gooses and they're a lot of fun for kids.
They just like, yeah, because listen, they also have a knack for entertaining children. Did you look up at Al Alberts at all?
Yeah, G Mike and I both looked it up and we're not getting anything for like a accusations or child molester.
Can you find a video of though? Can you find a video of Al Albert Showcase? And just what's really funny is the girl that I dated right after the girl I lost my virginity to. She was a dancer, but you know, like, not like a stripper, like a we were 17, but like a tap dancer, like you know, jazz dancer type thing. And
all those cheeses, Jay.
Yeah, sluts. But I went to go watch a few times. She, you know, was still in dance schools and stuff, and she would go do Al Albert still did shows like at that time, but he would like live shows. So I'd go with her and her family to like Atlantic City, and just this guy would go out there and croon for old people and then bring out children to like dance in like in little outfits. It was pretty wacky.
Yeah, the whole thing, just children in general. Like just sort of being involved in entertainment for adults is always weird to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I'm doing more like my son does like plays, like what it's like, I don't know, like school plays. It just doesn't like come off as like hoary, you know, he's being Donkey and Shrek.
What was it when you guys were, when we did that episode, we were talking about the documentary about like a fucking Nickelodeon and the kids getting abused or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, even I remember when I think it was you, Lewis, who sent me like the thing where it was just like a montage of like the weird, you know, they're like shooting goo on the kids and like just doing weird things. And all of that to us today, like just immediately sets off alarm bells. And it's crazy that there was a time when like the adults in the room, none of them looked at that and went like, no, I know what you're doing.
Let's
right
get
now,
these
dude.
Kids this covered is- in gack.
Yeah, like, no, a lot of weird. These. A lot of the parents just want, they were living vicariously through their kids.
Dave, so we said that on Z-Rock, dude. Like, you saw those parents are fucking mostly garbage.
No, yeah. But I'm not even talking, yes, that no, that's for sure. And we did see that with one specific example. Very weird, very strange, like showbiz mom type thing. Where, like,
I remember
there was
the
like,
episode,
seven,
the wrestling
there was
episode.
Like a seven-year-old on the show and his mom's there and just keeps like bragging to all of us about all the stuff her son's in. And like, it's just very weird.
The weird brag was more talking about him like he was crushing pussy. That's
yes,
what was
well,
great.
No, she's bragging about all the shows he's done, the movie he did in Europe, and then how all the girls are throwing themselves at him and shit.
Yeah, he goes, like, oh, he's never on the phone with a bunch of girls because they want him so bad.
Very strange.
And this kid comes over, he's like, hey, mom, can I?
But I mean more just like the people, what, like, I just can't imagine. So I'm a dad. Instead of being a dad in 2025, I'm a dad in 1982. And I'm watching this show that Lewis just said, and I wouldn't just be like, yo, I see what this guy's doing. This is fucking weird and creepy.
It's always weird for an adult man to kiss an 11-year-old girl. Like, that's not his daughter or not his niece. Like,
yeah, it's your daughter. You could fucking French her.
Dude,
you know?
even my niece, who is my family, I would never kiss her on the lips.
I do.
Whatever it is.
We're not blood.
Well, yeah, it's not even so. Also, my niece isn't super affectionate. So, I mean, I guess if she was just like more like less like standoffish and like, but like, I don't know, I give her a hug. And like, even then, like, I'm feeling like, cause she's just not like, she's just not super affectionate like that. Like,
turn
she doesn't
to a high five. Turn it to a high five. It'll put
my sister
like everyone's tension.
My sister will be like, give Uncle Lou a hug. She's almost like forced her. I was like, no. I was like, she's like teaching her. I was like teaching her like about, you have to like, it has to be consent. She doesn't have to be forced to like give her uncle a hug if she doesn't want to. And I love my niece, and I love kids. I love a Bill Burr joke where he talks about fucking, hey, you can't be nice to kids anymore.
Such a great bit.
Yeah, it's a great bit. I just showed James that special. Why do I do this? But like, yeah, I love kids, dude. I like when I see kids, like if I'm walking through the airport and there's like a little cute, like little girl, a little boy, 3-year-old, I'm like, oh, hey, yeah, you're so cute. But you literally get looked at like you're a fucking pedophile. Funny.
I'm instinctually like if a baby or a very little kid, like a parent's holding especially or something, is like catching eyes at me in the line. Like, I know they're just bored sitting in that line also. So I start doing like that. I'm like, you know, I'd be like, what are you doing? You look at me. And then if the parents see that, they're like, hey, we trying to fuck my kid? Because no, man, I don't know. You look at me. I like little kids. He's a sweetheart.
They're adorable. Little kids are so cute.
It's like he's looking at me, so I'm going like I'm playing with him. You know,
like Alex's like, daughter like, is so fucking cute. Like such a cute little munchkin. You know, like you just want to fucking grab her and fucking make out with her. What do you want me to say? I get it.
I just want to start fucking kissing her neck and shit softly.
Yeah, the pedophiles really did ruin it for the rest of us.
But then there's so many pedophiles. Look, I would also go, here's the thing, for a while, it's almost like when that Bill Burr joke came out, with this 2007, 2008, that special came out, right? This was pre-internet. It was Catch a Predator was out at that time, but it was like, you're like, all right, what are these, like five guys in every town? Now you see, like, if you go on to, like, you know, fucking, if you're just on the internet in general, right? And remember there was that Elsa Gate thing that happened a few years ago?
No, I don't remember.
I remember that word. But
it was essentially, it was like this whole thing. It was like, you know, there was these essentially creators that were like
basically
just doing.
The algorithm was not, hadn't caught up yet, right? And so to send their kids from like regular videos that they'd be watching to like really fucked up weird.
It was weird. Well, see, it was a little bit more of a conspiracy than anything else. But here's what happened. I remember during that time, right? So they were doing these videos where it would be like, you know, Elsa in a bath and with Spider-Man. They were like taking a bath together. It was just kind of weird, right? But it was
it saves water.
For the most part, it was a lot of just like Chinese and Russian content creators just taking popular characters, putting them in videos and whatever. And
I remember this too.
Computer generated stuff. Most of it was pretty innocent, but then some people were like almost like trolling. You didn't know what was trolling. You didn't know what was like real, like pedophiles. Some of them were violent, right? And your kid
was very scary images sometimes too.
They would just plug YouTube on for your kid, and in the beginning they're watching like, you know, a bathtub full of Orbeez, and then you stop paying attention for 2 or 3 hours, and now they're watching Spider-Man fist fuck Elsa, and you're like, what is happening right now? But what
did you search this
during this time? Me and Zach,
remember the one?
Well, you I don't want to lose this point.
Sure, sure, go ahead. Sorry.
Me and Zach, I remember we were talking about it on Real Ass Podcast back in the day, and we just went down the rabbit hole, and we found like all these moms on YouTube that were doing like bath time videos.
Yes,
they're like little girls, like 2-3 year old girls, and it was just them giving him a bath, and it was seemingly innocent, but then there'd be 10 million views on this, comments disabled, and it was still being monetized, and you're like, oh shit, like literally pedophiles.
You're pimping at your daughter though, but you know, you know what you're doing.
It'd be like an account where I remember Lewis sent me one of them, and he was like, hot, right? And I was like, no, gross.
But ew, Lewis, so, you do this Lewis, all the time.
So you said, and you look at the channel, like it's a mom channel, and like I'm making up these numbers, but it was like something like this. It's like a mom channel. She's got
100 videos of her just doing a vlog.
800 subscribers. There's one video of her in the supermarket. It's got 37 views. There's another video of her taking the kids in the car. It's got 25 views. And then there's her giving her daughter a bath, and it's got 300,000 views. And like the channel's monetized. Like she's making money off of this. And you could clearly see there's this one video that like is just not in line with the numbers of the channel, and you're like, yo, like
that's how many fucking pedophiles are out there. That's the thing that kind of fucked me up, where I was like, oh, I kind of get why you'd be defensive of like even a, you know, that any one of us talking to your child in an airport. I would get, it's also like you're just a couple steps away from being on a plane in another country with your child. It's a weird place to approach a child. But like they're really, dude, it's really out there. Like all those pedophile hunting channels, it's a never ending, you know, just a never ending stream of fucking pedos that they're finding.
I'm fucking blown away. That's what I said. That's the most discouraging thing with those pedophile hunts that I went on, is that when one person didn't show up and I'd be like, ah, well, you know, next time, guys, they were like, no. And it's like 15 minutes. They could have somebody else set up to come over. In 15 minutes, locally, they'll find somebody who is okay with fucking a child. It's crazy.
It's wild.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, like, how that works. Yeah. You know, I was saying, I'm watching that show, You. I just started season 2. I'm on a season 2. I forgot. I remember hearing this, and then when he popped up on the show, I kind of remembered, but Chris D'Elia on it. I mean, talk about ripping the headlines. I don't think he was involved in writing his character at all or anything, but his character is a successful touring comedian. The jokes they give him on the show are so bad, by the way. But like, it's a touring comedian who is starting to get slowly like called out for like, or not called out, but it's just word is like he fucks girls that are like, you know, he drugs chicks and fucks them when they're like 16, 17 years old. It's like a big,
there's his character on the show.
He's playing this part.
Character is a comedian who's very popular, who's fucking underage girls.
I just don't know how he got there.
How did he find the motivation? Because I will say he's a pretty good actor in this part. But in that, what a crazy thing to be like. I mean, is it art imitating life or life imitating art? I don't know which way that goes.
Didn't he also play that type of character on Workaholics?
I heard that also. I didn't ever watch Workaholics, but I heard he was a pedophile.
I mean, if you're that guy, wouldn't you be like, you know what? I'm not taking those parts.
or Lewis, was it like a Tupac playing Bishop type thing? Wow. He took it. It felt right. And then yeah. He was like, I'm just going to live my life this way.
You know what? Thug life, man. Pred life. pedo life. That is weird that he's had two characters play. Like, that means in his auditions, he fucking killed those lines.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking wild. What a wild timeline. It's also wild that he, you know, say what you want. Like, you know, whatever. Like, I never defended Chris D'Elia, but I was like kind of going like, you know what? It was kind of above board, right? It was typically the evidence that we saw was him like you know, having a girl being 17, hit him up and he was like, yeah, you're not 18. Hit me up when you're 18. Now, even like looking back at that and thinking about it, that's still pretty fucking creepy. And then he hit her up like the day she turned 18. He sent her a DM. Creepy as fuck, right? So,
well, yeah, but every girl's got to get a day fucking tattoo.
Rough. It's just, it's, yeah. It's
very, every girl's got to get branded.
It's very weird. I don't understand how he is touring and selling literally 300 times the tickets that I sell. Like, you watch the videos of him, like, just theater, like, packed out theaters. You're like, guys, you have no morals.
Currently,
like,
currently right now?
Yes, dude. If you go into his Instagram, like, his dude, he's selling.
And also, he's not even a redemption story, really, right? He's not like, guys, I turned it around. I was doing, no. He made that one video, but then after that video, like, wasn't there evidence of like the picture he took where he's like, fidelity rips and marriage rules, and I'm learning that now. And then the girl's like, she's like, looked at the time of the thing and showing like a text he sent or something. It was like, he's texting me in that picture.
Well, I heard through a pretty reputable source that he's just like paying these girls off, and that's why he's touring relentlessly. Like, all these like 16, 17 year old girls. I heard that he fucking brought Cindy Crawford's daughter to the comedy store. Yeah, this is him now. Like, this is him 2 weeks ago, dude. It's insane. Like, I can't sell that little section right there. It's making me, I've never raped. Please.
By the way, I don't think I am an attractive man at all, but chicks that were all over this guy, I never quite got it. He's goofy guy.
He looks like he was fucking drawn by the Rick and Morty artists. Like,
yeah.
Like, his mouth does that thing, like, that thing. Yeah.
Yeah, his mouth squishes up when he's thinking. What's that, Morty? God damn.
Yeah, I don't understand. I'm not a cancel culture guy at all. I'm just going like, how didn't it affect his numbers? I understand it affected his like mainstream like movie appeal. Like, he wanted to be like an action star in Marvel movies.
And he lost major parts.
But it is funny. It's like what the timing was, what was going on in culture. Because somewhere Aziz is like, I had an awkward hookup. I lost tens of millions of dollars. Like, what the fuck?
I guess. Do you think that affected Aziz's career very much? Because I will say, like, Aziz, I don't hear from Aziz much. He might be doing projects that I'm completely unaware of. You think people are gone, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, he's been working on three seasons of a
it's, fucking the thing about it is it's a lot like fucking, like, with the Louis thing, is that it's not even necessarily like that you'll never go do another thing or that you're not working anymore, but it's really hard to quantify how valuable it is to take someone when they're like an A-list, white hot, everyone wants to work with them guy, and then they just get bumped way down the list. But I think Aziz was humongous when he got taken down. There has to be at least tens of millions of dollars of like big things that he would have done that he didn't.
You know what it is, dude? I don't have the eyes wide shut sexual energy in me at all. So like this kind of thing, like that's what I'm much easier for me to understand Louis. Like, it wouldn't be my thing at all, but it's like, can I just jerk off while you watch or whatever? Like, that's, I don't get it, but like, you know, I understand that much more. Sure. When it gets like that Army Hammer or Chris D'Elia, like, I own you. Like, if you have to have phone calls, like, I own you. Brand yourself for me. Are you willing to give me your everything? I just don't have that fucking, you know, in elite Illuminati just orgy
of having harem of young girls.
Dude, just like such a weird, like, have you been good for daddy today? Like, playing in that world at all for any length of time. That girl, me and Christine hooked up with it one time, who kept calling us mommy and daddy thing, and she was like, does mommy want baby to put daddy's
baby? Is it the same girl that I hooked up with?
And like, I was like, dude, I remember going to Christina and go, mommy, can you please just tell baby to suck daddy's dick so we can get this over with?
Dude, I remember she asked me to buy her like a Barbie house. She sent me a link for like a Barbie house. And then one time she was over and I was like trying to hook up. I was like, oh, hey, what's up? Let's fuck. And she's like, go do it, but they got that, but and I was like, what's going on? Like, I guess we'll like playlist. And after
that,
like,
poor girl, somebody in her life convinced her that that is a thing. Like, this is, she brought that energy like already.
No,
like,
that girl. No. When a girl asked someone, baby girl like
convinced
that,
her, and I could tell you who it was. It was the guy who hosted that show from 1980 to 1985.
Yeah, dude, she was molested. She was molested unquestionably at one point, and she got stuck there sexually. She was fucking super hot. She also fucked. I mean, me, you, and I know two other comics that
one of the other comics I know was like, that was like a fucking became like a real like infatuation like problem.
Well, it also became she would do a thing where she tried to like blackmail me and like threaten to tell my chick that we hooked up. This is after we were broken up. But she was like trying to like use that thing, and I heard her doing that with like two other comics. She had like a string of dudes that she was like blackmailing.
Yeah, Christine got worried about that at one point. I was like, because she was like, well, she was just like, I don't know. She's like, it's like an instability there. She was just like, I kind of see that. I'm like, we kind of like, we should have done nothing with that girl. And I'm like, yeah, I guess in hindsight.
No, there was a few girls. We all had a few girls in our fucking, you know, lives. Dave, not so much. Dave's like, he got out. Dave got out at the right time.
The day Louis C.K. went down, I proposed.
But there was a few. Like, I mean, for a while, I talk about my act a little bit too. Now it's like, dude, the Me Too movement was when I was my horniest and most turned on crazy chicks. It's like these bitches,
me, they were too. So hot,
dude. It was like walking a tightrope. Like, are these bitches gonna accuse me of rape? Yes, let's go. And there was a few girls that I dated where people were like, dude, like that girl has accused five guys of rape. And in my mind, I was like, well, you know what? I'm going to treat her really nice. And why would she accuse me? I'm sure there's some other guy that treats her like shit. She'll just accuse that guy. And I never got into any like real trouble with these crazy bitches. But there was a few gals that I hooked up with that were like problems, like actual, like one of them died. And but like literally like,
was
known-
she a problem that was becoming a problem?
No, she wasn't a problem for me. She was a problem for other dudes. Other dudes dude, okay, don't fuck that girl. Like she was a
major problem for other dudes. May she rest in peace.
Well, it's not a problem when you're willing to kill a girl.
Dun, dun, dun.
But no, like, you know,
call me Louis Foul Play Gomez.
Yeah, I mean,
there is something about like we all know this, but there's like a problem chick like in comedy who I just heard, you know, I'm not involved in it at all, but like I heard like the story of like she like, you know, called some comedian's girlfriend to tell them that he's been cheating on her, and she's just like done this a bunch of times with other dudes. And there is something about the energy of like, I'm not saying there's no situation that you could ever find yourself in where you were like, I'm going to tell someone that their partner's cheating on them because you love the person or you want to help them or whatever. But the type of person who actively wants to be in that situation, like you want to go ruin someone's relationship, ruin their life, is so, there's something about it that's so scary. Like it's
scarier, what was that movie with Vince Vaughn and what's it called? Come on, King of Queens.
Kevin James.
Oh, Kevin James.
Yeah, that was like the whole premise of the movie. And it's like, dudes just don't work that way. That was the whole premise of a movie. It's like, should I tell the
couples retreat? Maybe.
No. Thanks for chiming in with nothing. What's it called? The girl was cheating on King of Queens, Kevin James, and I believe it was Vince Vaughn. I believe it was, where there was the whole premise of the movie was like, should I tell him? It's like, guys are just like, it's his best friend. He's like, I don't know if I want to fucking go there, dude. People have their own, the dilemma. Yes, Alex, thank you.
It's going to ruin your time. You know what I mean? Like, it's you're like,
it's just fucking such anxiety. Let's do plugs right quick. We have a little time.
Yeah, but I do know, literally, if I knew that either of your two girlfriends were cheating on you, I do think I would tell you two guys because you're my guys, but I would hate that I would have to do that. That would suck so much to be like, oh, dude,
Winona Ryder was the girl. And then Vince Vaughn went to her. He's like, what are you doing? Like, he's trying to like convince her to not cheat on him.
Well, it's funny. You have to go there and you have to go like, look, I'm going to tell you something. Now, don't necessarily make this upend your life because that's the thing you don't want to be responsible for. He goes, hear her out, please.
Let's plug it up, boys.
I'll go first.
Please.
BigJComedy.com for all my dates. I don't know if I'm on Punch Up anymore. If I am, if it's for long, who knows? But punchup.live/BigJOpperson, I think. Thank you all for watching both parts of my special. Them, they is now out, doing well. Me and Lewis have some fun stuff coming up. So we got some Story Wars is coming up on the road. We got Los Angeles, Austin, Texas coming up again. Mothership. So look out for those things. You can catch me if you're listening to this live. I will be in Long Island, Governors, Levittown, the 6th and the 7th of June. After that, American Comedy Company in San Diego, Charlotte, Tacoma, Sacramento. I'm all over the place. New Brunswick, New Jersey. Ooh, that's going to be an easy weekend. I don't even have to get out of the city anymore for that.
When is that?
Ooh.
Yeah, when's the New Brunswick one?
August 21, 22, 23.
Let the boys come out.
Come on out, boys.
You know, I think I might be gone. I'm not sure. No, I'll split 100. Dude, if I'm not on the road, I'll come do spots on that. That's fucking actually very convenient for me.
We'll fucking kick it. And then, of course, Story Wars and The Bonfire. 5 days a week, Faction Talk, Sirius XM 103 with me and the legend, Robert Kelly.
Very cool, Dave.
I will be in a couple weeks, June 13th through 14th. I will be out in Salt Lake City, Utah, at Wise Guys. I love that club. I'm excited to go back there. And then I just added I don't do that many local shows these days, but the Dojo of Comedy on June 20th and 21st. I'll be running my new hour there. If anybody wants to come out and see it. Please come on out to those. And it's not a very big room, so like those shows will fill up. So if you want to come out and see me in Jersey, get tickets to that soon. Then I will be doing my first weekend ever at Denver Comedy Works. Really looking forward to that one. And then back at Hilarities in Cleveland, Comedy Connection in Providence, Tacoma Comedy Club, Spokane Comedy Club, the Detroit House of Comedy, and Tampa Side Splitters. Got dates for all of those up on my website. Literally all those are like a run of all my favorite clubs to do. So really looking forward to that. ComicDaveSmith.com for all of those ticket links. And of course, partoftheproblem.com is the home of my other podcast.
Come see me. This is live on Friday night. So tomorrow night I'll be Hyenas Dallas, 2 shows, 7 and 9:30 p.m. Next week, me and Scott Chaplin going to Amsterdam, Glasgow, Dublin, Manchester, London. I'm very excited about the one Dublin show sold out already, and I think the Manchester show is also sold out. I think we're adding second shows. We did add a second show for Dublin. We might add a second show for Manchester as well. So get those tickets. That'll be in Boston in June. I added a few more June dates as well. I'll be in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Long Beach, Missouri, Mobile, Alabama. Baton Rouge. Call them Baton Rouge.
Hey, mama, take me out there. I only know that song from you singing it.
Atlantic City, New Jersey as well, coming up 4th of July weekend, July 5th and 6th. And then I'm filming my special at Side Splitters in Tampa, which I'm very excited about. Really excited. Zach Camino is going to be that weekend. Bobby Kelly is going to be there. He's directing the special. He's also going to jump on some shows as well. So get those tickets for July 12th weekend in Tampa. Then a lot of other stuff coming out at the end of the summer, early fall. So keep on checking my website, lewisofskanks.com. Check out all my other podcasts, Story Wars, The Rigs, Lewis Journal Podcast, exclusively for my email list subscribers. And if you guys want a little bit of energy, a little bit of fucking, if you're trying to support your testosterone and your fucking brain function, try Body Brain Coffee. Our pre-sale is ending on May 30th. You get 20% off just by going to bodybraincoffee.com and supporting my product that I'm launching.
It's essentially freeze-dried anabolic steroids.
It's basically, you can inject this coffee right into your ass.
Yeah, honestly, you can boil it down to a spoon, fucking mainline it.
Oh, and I also say June 1st, yes. Pre-order my book.
Oh, June 1st, oh, yes.
June 1st, you can pre-order my book on Amazon.
Nice. A lot going on, Lewis.
Oh, yeah,
lots. That's very exciting. June 11th, by the way, Alex pointed out, that's right, we have Story Wars happening live.
Yeah.
At
the Mothership, 2 shows, 7:30 in the small room, 10 o'clock in the main room this time. Yeah. And then we're doing June 29th at Dojo of Comedy Story Wars, and we're doing August 3rd or 4th at the Comedy Store in Los Angeles. So lots of road dates coming up for Story Wars.
Don't we have like two live Sunday ones we're doing or something?
Yeah.
In the city.
In New York. Yep. Oh, yeah.
Word. Oh, word?
Word, nerd. What's the... So there was a video. This is pretty funny. Jay, I know you'll love this. I also sent it to the group. It's these fucking fat chicks
talking about how Trump is to blame for making black women fat.
He is. Yeah. That's one of the things I will pin on Trump. He gets a bad rap sometimes.
And they made a statue of that fat black lady in Times Square. Is that Mutombo?
I hate when people talk about black women being obese. I hate it because it becomes a way to blame us for a set of conditions that we didn't create. We are living in the Trump era. And look, those policies.
Wait, pause it. Are they going to say why do they make fucking fried shit so affordable or something? Why is there chicken in every corner? That's Trump's fault.
No, I don't think she's going in that direction.
How's this going to be Trump's fault?
What are the conditions that make...
she's broke, so she can only afford fast food and shit.
But black fucking women have been fat for as long as I can remember.
The problem here is that you've internalized systemic racism, and you're not opening your minds and listening to this queen.
Right.
Go off.
I'll listen, queen.
And what public health practitioners think is that our stress responses in the body change our metabolism. It's literally that the racism that you're experiencing and the struggle to make ends meet actually means the diet don't work for you the same. I hate when people talk about...
Sorry, Jay. It's not that she's been eating Twinkies. She's been eating racism. Yeah. It's made her very fat.
Racism is definitely high in cholesterol.
And the bad cholesterol.
So she's saying that her metabolism doesn't work the same way as...
she's stressed.
Get a better job. What do you want me to say?
I'm telling you, and listen, I'm sure this isn't across the board with anything. If you're a fucking lady had like a fucking MBA or a doctorate or something and was like...
She's got a Dr. Pepper.
Like going for a job. I just think like a place would be like thrilled to have this lady, like for the optics of it, if nothing else. You know what I mean? Like it's like a...
What do you mean? Like what place would be thrilled?
I'm saying a place where it's like if there's as much as people would be like, I'm not hiring some big black lady to be the head of this company or something like that. Just somebody out there who's going like, that would be awesome to have that be the case. It's the same argument. When you were younger in comedy, even that there was like black comics, when the black comics wouldn't make it, it would be a thing. It's like, it's fucking hard, man. Like white ass audiences don't blah, blah, blah. It's like, let me tell you something. If you're a black person who was getting into like the clubs at one point, especially like early 2000s, you were being skyrocketed almost like to popularity.
Yeah,
because they were like, and by the way, it was because you were black and this is what he told me exactly, black and able to entertain a white crowd and be non-threatening to a white crowd, you were pushed through because you were black.
Well, you had to play the game differently. And that's the thing. So that's almost like the bigger picture there. It's the same thing you're actually talking about, right? So there was, I mean, you go to some of these black shows, there are guys that fucking level on another level, like level harder than Matt Rife, level harder than fucking Shane, like yes. Just straight up black guys that are no name comics that are just working in black clubs. They're not playing the white game. So this fat black bitch isn't playing the white game. She's not trying to go get a job as a CEO or fucking she's actually like she's living her life in
she's
the
not,
hood.
She's not playing the white game and eating salad.
Yeah, dude, you like
white ass shit. What the hell lettuce right, cost? 84 cents.
You're right that like, you know, if you were a black comic and you played the fucking game the right way and went like sort of working mainstream clubs and not working just the black circuit, you would get skyrocketed. I mean, I booked shows back in the day. And if there was a fucking black comic who wanted to do more, because there were so many just tall white guys that wrote good jokes, that was like, that's the reality. There was a lot of them. You know what I'm saying? And there was like a fucking dude who had like really great energy who just fucking murdered that.
Michael Che is hilarious, but I mean, he walked right through. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
And like, Michael Che is hilarious, but he didn't kill like Mike Britt or like Mike Yard or any of the other black mics.
All the black mics, Jordan.
He played the white game better than those guys played it.
He didn't kill like Killer Mike.
No one killed,
what,
like,
no, you're, but also a big part of what Lewis is talking about is like the crossover appeal too. Like it's like killing, because a lot of times like there would, you know, there'd be those shows where it's like, it, look, if you're just murdering in black rooms, but you're, it, there is something where it's like, you know, black people are only like 13% of the population. So it is like a, it is a smaller audience. But what you guys are both saying, if you were a black dude who could kill in front of like white audiences and you played that game at all, then yes, Jay's correct. You were going to have doors open for you like faster than others. The real example was always chicks. I always thought it was crazy when women would complain so much about how hard it is for them in comedy, because it was always like, listen, if you just get slightly good at this, we will all pretend you're much better than you are.
Of course.
Like, it's just a fact.
Well, there's so, it's just a game of numbers. And you like, well, we're not a woke brand at all, right? But even like Skankfest, it's like, no, we need really funny fucking chicks, right? Like, so if you're a really funny chick, you'll stand out so much quicker. People will jump at the opportunity to get you on stage, especially now, like where it's like, we're at a time when, you know, like we're not woke at all, but there are so many other platforms are, you know what I'm saying? If you're just a chick who's slightly funny, you can be rich, very quickly.
If you play it right, we know it was always interesting to watch, especially since I started out in the black circuit, was to watch the guys who would come out of the black circuit. Like, I don't know if Che really started in the black circuit necessarily, maybe, but I think he was just doing open mics, like just the general all around open mics that were everybody. But maybe I'm wrong about that. But like, so I don't know if it was a jump that was interesting watching the people jump out of the black circuit and try to come into the mainstream rooms in the city. Was that they'd learn how to kill in these rooms and kill hard in the mainstream rooms, but they were doing a pretty dialed back version of what I'd seen them do at the black shows that I would start off at, whether it be the Laugh House or anywhere else. Like, they would kill there where people were like falling out of chairs and shit and, you know, whatever. And then they would come and just kind of like do like the most basic like jabs of comedy they did. Yeah. Because they were like, they had a thing inside them that goes, oh, black person's not going to get the reference when I go, this is DM, you know, this thing that would kill in a room, like DMX going through a drive-through, something that would like murder or something, you know, in the black room. They're like, oh, white crowd's not going to get that.
Yeah.
It's almost as racist on their end against black people. Like, they're going like, it's like, white people aren't going to get this dumb black shit.
Yeah, dude, it's
they would have. Will Silver,
comedy is one of the most fair fucking businesses ever. Like, it's very rare, at the very least, maybe because I've been doing it for over 20 years at this point. So it's like I can look at a comic and be like, oh, well, that's your problem. But it's very rare where somebody is really funny that works hard, they're not making it, where they're not doing well in comedy. Well, example of that?
Well, there's I think. There is definitely like, there are people who are like, I think maybe their talent doesn't line up to where they are compared to where other people with their talent are or something like that. But in general, and I almost make this even like a stronger statement than you just said, Lewis, I don't think I've ever seen anyone who was really funny, who worked really hard, didn't like blatantly shoot themselves in the foot, who did it for 20 years and didn't have... wasn't a professional comedian.
Where do you
who
put,
had a job
where do you put,
for doing
where do you,
it?
Where do you put Metzger? Because that's what I think. I was going to say Metzger in the sense that, by the way, I'm not saying Metzger is like destitute, but in my mind, Metzger should be wealthy. He's well, that kind of level. Like
Metzger, Metzger makes more money than people probably think, including us, right? Like Metzger's on the. Here's the thing. So I'll tell you. I know he's got his issues. I think Metzger spends like a lunatic, but regardless, sure. I think that Metzger's done pretty well with everything from like development deals to writing on TV shows to touring. Like, Kurt can sell as many tickets as
Kurt also was probably making six figures before any of us were making six figures. Kurt's had big money things come along his way several times. He's widely known. And I'm saying I don't think there's an example of anyone who doesn't get to the level of like, they earn a salary, they have a job.
Well, as it relates to Kurt, so you're I can pinpoint. Yeah. Kurt Metzger, he shoots himself in the foot. Like Dave used the word before, like Kurt, and this, I don't want to knock him because I don't want to trash Kurt, because I think Kurt's literally to this day one of my favorite comics in the world and one of the most talented people I know. And I think he's doing better now than he was doing a couple years ago. But no, I think Kurt Metzger has his own issues with putting in the work the same way that all of us put in the work. You know what I'm saying? Like if Kurt's talent, and maybe because he's talented, it's like a hot chick, you know what I'm saying? Like, and Jay, I think you had this problem for a while. The reason I think you only started being really successful, you know, whatever, 5-6 years ago, whatever it is, you can sort of quantify where you started making real money, was because you are as funny as the hot chick is hot, and you always have been. You know what I'm saying? And I think
you just finally started working on your personality.
But no, I think it was a detriment almost, like how funny you were out the gate. Cause when I met you, even at like 4 or 5 years in comedy, when I met you, you were closing the Comedy Cellar. You were following Dave Attell. And I think you were banking off your talent sort of taking you far. And then a few years ago, you realized like, no, I got to hustle and I have to do multiple things and wear multiple hats, be on the road regularly, build out an audience, do things.
That I know, but those were things though. I will say this, like what you're saying isn't wrong in the sense of like, cause you're saying like Kurt, like would shoot himself in the foot and maybe not put in like the hard work, which I remember, like I got so butthurt about that when Schumer and Brian Koppelman on his podcast said that, like, he's like, Jay's so funny. He goes, if he just gave like 1% effort, like, you know,
Given more than 1%.
He would be huge. No, it wasn't even that I was giving 100% effort. I was just giving 100% effort into what it is that I wanted to do. The idea was I didn't want to write scripts and write TV shows. I didn't really think about being in sitcom. I didn't give a shit about those things that much. So I was
before the podcasting thing took off.
Of course,
podcasting taking off was a big thing that helped your.
Of course,
you enjoy doing it.
Of course, I very much so. I love broadcasting. So I think it scratches the same itch for me as stand up. But I want to do stand up. So those things where it's about working hard. It was like I would go out and grind out lots of spots in a night when I could, and run all over, especially to make money on the weekends. Like how much, so I worked really hard and I made sure that I always had like new bits and new jokes, like circulating and shit. So like, and I started talking to the crowd, that became easier. So it's like, I put in the work. That's why I say I only take issue with that, because I get the point being made of it, because it's right. I didn't go on everything. I didn't wake up at 6 a.m. and start going on 3 commercial auditions and start. I just didn't give a fuck about that. Right. So I did put the effort into the stuff I wanted to do. I just didn't want to do everything. I didn't want to go to L.A., not for doing stand-up shows all the time. I have to maybe get some stand-up shows because I'm out there to audition for pilots all fucking.
But you also, the one time that you wrote one script, it went pretty far along. And we didn't have to fucking write a script, right? You were just good in the room. You got people to like you. You're very likable, right? So, and that's half the battle. I watched that happen when we sold that show to True TV. Me and Dave Attell pitched it, and then we ended up turning it into a Legion of Skanks show. But I watched Dave Attell. I watched how good he was in the room. Mm-hmm. And I learned so much in that moment because I was so bad in the room. When I was in the room with executives, I did all that shit. I would go out with, you know, and do the, you know, the general meetings in LA, and I'd be pitching TV shows to MTV and all these other platforms. And I was so nervous and like, please like me. Like Attell walked in and was like, he was like, I'm the commodity. You guys are just a bunch of fucking 25-year-old nitwits. I've been doing this for 35 years and I'm a genius. And he had this energy where he just held court, and you watch the people hang off his every word. And you were like, oh, that's how you got to fucking do this. You can't go in like, please do me a favor. You have to go in like you're doing them the favor, because the reality is you are doing them the favor. They're not talented enough to come up with their own concepts and own shows. They need the talented people to do that. And it was a huge learning experience. Jay, you are likable enough and funny enough and personable enough, and people really like, I'm not likable. Dave's not likable like you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have a thing where people like go like, oh, this guy's a fucking real sweet guy. Like a big fucking teddy bear. They want to like hang, and you're just very funny with.
You're not.
Once you get to know you, once they peel the layers apart. But no, I remember even as a young comic, I was like very, I don't want to say enthralled with like hanging out with you, because you were so funny to like hang out with. We'd be in the car and I would laugh so hard just fucking around and just talking shit with you. And that comes across. And the one time you wrote a TV show and pitched it, it got to the point where we were almost in development. There were multiple networks that were interested in taking meetings and wanting to book this thing. And had you gone down that path, you didn't want to, but had you gone down that path, you would have sold TV shows. You would have gotten writing gigs. You would have done all those things. So when they were saying there's truth to it, you know what I'm saying? You didn't want to do those things.
Sure.
And the reality is, you know, doing spots at night, it's fucking lunchtime. It's gym class. That's fun.
Of course, they're saying about giving it, which is a matter of like what I said when I started doing comedy. That was very interesting. It wasn't as a springboard.
Like, it was like, I was like, I wanted to just do comedy because I liked doing stand-up comedy. I thought that was awesome. And then I said, I was just told that you're supposed to try to do movies and sitcoms.
But yeah, but you also booked a bunch of sitcoms and booked a bunch of movies and booked a, like, you without putting much effort in. My assumption is your closing ratio for things you auditioned for was astronomical. Like, you probably closed one out of two or three things, whereas most people that are going out,
because I auditioned like 15 times only.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, like, most audition and they close one out of 20, one out of 30. Like, that's a good closing ratio for being booked on something.
Well, I lucked out with a couple things. That's, again, that's another thing where you say, like, the intangibles can come into play, which is nice. Which, I, if I did play ball more or gave a shit about acting more, that probably would have helped me, because even just the one, I played the strip club DJ on Louie. And the casting people there just liked me so much that when the Hustlers was being done, they just called me and said, hey, you want to play a strip club DJ? It wasn't even like, come audition for it. They were just like, you want to play the DJ? It's fine. Yeah. We just put you in it. And I was
well, that's also sure. Something that I learned. I took an audition class years ago with like Monroe Martin and with what's the Dominican cat? He's a funny guy, but like now does like a lot more acting. It was this. The Stand managed him.
Hispanic? Oh, Camaño.
Vladimir Camaño. And Vladimir Camaño was a horrific actor in this class. I remember it was like so uncomfortable. Every time he would go up to do something, he'd be like, "God damn, Vlad." He just got good. He put in the work to becoming a good actor, and now he gets booked in acting shit all the time. Nice. But in that audition class, the biggest takeaway that I took that I got from it was get the casting director and get the agent to like you. Because then they're going to want to place you in roles. Even if you don't nail the part, they're going to be like, hey, you're not right for this. But they're just going to call you to come in and read for something because they really like you. And they immediately, their mind goes to you. So that's something that you had that you were very good at. Every time I did an audition, like, I would like shut down. I was so like in my own head. I would like look at like, dude, I was bad.
But did you ever think that maybe the reason you were shutting down is because when there's racism everywhere, the diet don't work for you? Like, maybe Jay was just able to audition because there's not racism all around.
There's no racism all around me. No, it is interesting. I don't know. I just never like cared for the process or anything. I'm not particularly a good auditioner. When I took the acting class that I took, or I took an auditioning class once and one acting whatever the course was, you know, 8 weeks or whatever of each. And when I went to the auditioning one, and it was like, again, my instincts are just so childish, wrong maybe, but when there was a guy who was probably the best actor in that class, we were doing a scene from like Law and Order type shit. It was him being interrogated, and it, you know, at the point he had put his head in his hands, and when he came up, you know, he was a little bit teary, and he's like, she's dead. And my instinct in the back of the room was to be like, just start like giggling, just like, what the fuck you doing, dude? But at the same time, I hate acting. I don't like acting other people's comedy, so I've never been that like psyched on sitcoms or anything. And the thing that I would be most psyched about is doing like a dramatic, like something, like, you know, like, and not even like a sad necessarily, but just whether it was like, I told you, I was psyched that one time I got like one audition like into being almost like the guy that was really fat and skinny in American History X. Now he's thin, but Ethan, whatever. Like, it was almost like a character like that from a true story thing from a documentary I watched, where it was like a skinhead who was mad that his buddy was kind of getting out of it. And I'm like, that's so far from me that I'm like, that would be a fun kind of interesting.
Yeah, your buddies aren't getting out of it. Your buddies are really leaning in.
These guys steer into the curve. No, you know what I mean, though? I'm like, that would be a fun thing to act. Like, being whatever they put me in comedy is going to always be like some version of me, just sort of. So it's not really that exciting. And I really, it's just never, I've never given a shit. But once I watch people do dramatic shit in a room and like turn on their fucking instrument of acting, it just seems so uncomfortable and gay to me.
Everything is gay. Music is gay. Like, being a musician, buddy.
I've thought that. I mean, I used to have that joke about that, but it's so funny. Like, lyrics are so from the heart in the gayest way that, like,
oh, dude,
like, dude, to pour your soul into a song, even though once the song comes out, like, I'm a finished product guy in music. So when I hear the thing is done, you go, what a fucking awesome song. But if you just look at the lyrics, you're like, it's like, is that what the fucking Deftones singer sat down to write this gay ass shit?
Dude, I went to go see Glassjaw
like a year, yeah, maybe 3 years ago. Now, it's right after the pandemic, right when music started coming back. It was like the first concert that I saw. And it's like the only people who like Glassjaw are people my age. Like Glassjaw is like they had their time period with this like kind of screamo thing. And they're still great. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure they have new fans. But for the most part, everyone in this audience was late 30s, early 40s. And everyone's wearing like a Glassjaw T-shirt. And like Daryl Palumbo, you remember we had him on Skanks years ago. He's just kind of a little homo. You know what I'm saying? Like he's like, and he's singing these lyrics about like being mad at a girl like in high school. And like that's when I listened to it was like, and I remember like me and like all of these other dads were like looking at Daryl Palumbo going, yeah, and singing with him and pointing at him and making eye contact with him. And then I remember at one point I was like, oh, this is the gayest shit I've ever been in involved with. What a fucking homo fest this is. And I got bummed out and I just went to the back and was like, I'll just walk.
Can I tell you something? I had a weird, like I saw Manson the other week, Marilyn Manson, and he was really fucking good. He looks good. He sounds fucking fantastic.
Stop saying he looks good. He never looks good. He hasn't looked good ever. No, buddy, even buddy, in his peak, he didn't look good. He was fucking covered in shit and sucking.
No, you know what I'm stuck. You know what I'm saying? He's not fat at all and anything anymore. He got gross. He looks good. He sounds good. It's just that whatever was there when I would go see him, when I was like so into it for all those years, like is missing now. Exactly. He can't cut himself a glass on stage because he'd be ridiculous to do it. But it's also what made the show like so great. Like was that kind of shit. So aging music, dude, is one of the funniest things ever. That is where we take the rings back as the comedians, because it's so much cooler to be a young rock star. And even probably through in your early 30s, even it's so good to be a rock star. But they're hits are always going to be from a time when they were at their youngest and stupid, and we can keep evolving. You can keep writing jokes. People want you to keep writing different jokes. But the idea that like Papa Roach has to go on stage still and go, I know my mother loves me, but does my daddy even care?
He's 50.
Yeah, dude, that's what I'm saying. And fucking Disturbed guy, the guy that hates Dave.
Yeah.
And he still has to go do is that Down with the Sickness where he's like, Mommy, breakdown, why don't you just die? Mommy, no,
does he still do that in the live song?
1,000%.
Can we see him doing that live today? I promise I'll be a good boy, Mommy.
No, please don't hit me again, Mommy. Please, why don't you just die? Give me some of that, just die.
It's so gay.
That so fucking sucks gay. For musicians, dude.
There's,
I know there is my mother about, loves me. Does my daddy is, even care?
It's like gangster shit, being a whore. Like
gangster devil, shit is still steeped in ignorance, at least. So you can know, still, saying, you can get away with it older.
No, but it doesn't. It just doesn't age well. It's just there's something being like doing gangster shit. It's like doing drugs. Like you do a lot of drugs when you're fucking 22. It's like, oh, that dude's a fucking badass. But if you're 45, it's just like, hey, dude, you have problems. Go get help. And Marilyn Manson doing his like devil worshiping thing just isn't, there's no way to make that cool in your 50s. It just can't be.
Yeah. And that's what was the problem. So was cool,
because when I'm
it.
A 16-year-old kid watching Marilyn Manson tearing the pages out of the Bible, like I thought it was so cool to the point where I remember early in my career, the first time I went on the road with Nate, I always had this plan. My plan was, as when I first started going on the road, I was like, every hotel I stay in, I'm going to take out the 666th page of the Bible and tear it out of the Bible. And I'm going to create my own Bible of six pages, 666, and have a big notebook that had all the... And then I went to go do that in front of Nate the first time I went on the road with him. And he was like, man, what are you doing?
Hey! Let's get struck down, man.
But now I think back how cringy that is.
Yeah.
But I was also, I started doing comedy at 22, 23 years old. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just, I was a fucking punk ass kid who was still immature for a 22 year old.
Yeah. Sure. God damn, dude. Well, I guess the point is, yeah, that sucks, dude. Music can't grow up. And nobody, by the way, that's also the thing that sucks about music is nobody wants to hear your grown-up thoughts. That's why Metallica can't make another fucking hit, is because there's no angst. These guys leave and they go home to very cushy, comfortable lives.
Let's see. Is this him doing it now? The breakdown? No, he doesn't do it.
Yeah, he does. I promise you.
Goodbye.
Dave, I would just take this and respond to him. Anytime he mentioned you, I would just respond with this.
Not bad.
It sucks, dude. It's like he's also, again, you have to, I guess, at some point start doing like he has his like, you know, now he's starting to look like an old Jewish guy now, and he's got like he doesn't have the chin piercings anymore, you know, whatever, the lip piercings anymore that go down. It's like so now it's just now he's just a bald guy with like no piercings. You know what I mean? It's just like it loses everything. That's a tough thing in music. That's tough.
Yeah. It is. I mean, there should be a shelf life on rock stars. You should once you hit 35, it's like
I don't know. You know, I'd say that, dude. But like, it's like seeing a band like this. I saw the Stones last year, dude, and they were. I don't know. I don't love the fucking Rolling Stones with a passion at all. They were fucking great, man. They really.
But their music's also like it's
sort of timeless. It's timeless.
It was never immature. It never seemed like it was for kids. You know what I'm saying? It seemed like it would like when I was a kid, it seemed like adults should be in the Rolling Stones.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, like, you know, I guess I'm sure there was a time when it was like, you know, your parents were like, turn that record off.
But I do not get excited. Every time I hear Paul McCartney's coming around, I go, I'd go if I had an opportunity, I guess. But I'm never in a rush to go see Paul McCartney. Don't care. But the Stones were fucking great.
Yeah. Just we grew up at a time when, you know, MTV and music was like this very like angsty, like, yo, fuck you, fuck my parents, fuck authority, Rage Against the Machine, System of a Down. Like, it was just like whatever it was, the hip hop, it was all like designed for kids to rebel. And I don't know that like generations before that, it didn't feel like it had that same sort of angst.
Well, I mean, like, I guess like you have like Surrender. Like a Cheap Trick type thing like that would go to that kind of
well,
stuff.
Well, it is. But the like, thing about it is it was just also tough for us to understand it. Cause like there was that type of like outrage about like Elvis gyrating his hips or like the Beatles did like cause all this controversy. But to us by like the 90s, when we came around, they were like, the Beatles used to cause all of this controversy. And we'd listen to it and be like, I want to hold your hand.
And that was a great scene in,
Dewey Cox.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like it's this is the devil's music. It's like what song is called?
I want to hold your hand. All right, gang. Always a great time hanging with the boys right here on the Friday Night Hang. Thank you all for subscribing to GasDigital.com. Your support supports us, yo. We'll catch you guys next time from the stand. Until then,
peace.
You've been listening to the Legion of Skanks podcast with Big J. Okerson.
Did you suck it? I think I would instinctually suck it.
Thick with three C's.
Who else be fucking over, Lewis?
Lewis Gomez.
Lewis J. Gomez, you motherfucker.
Lewis J. Gomez.
If you ever try to watch a retard draw a swastika, it's hilarious.
I'm sort of known as a point guard of podcasting. Being a fat gay guy is so fucking awesome.
And comedian Dave Smith.
You fucking godless, soulless sodomites.
That's the fucking best joke I've ever heard in my life.
It was 8 inches.
The Legion of Skanks podcast.